Thank you for tuning in to
TalkLine Network Radio, America's longest-running Jewish broadcast network, the voice of the Jewish community.
What are we gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do? Show we care. How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
And welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, mothers and fathers of saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages, for all mental health issues, including school issues and addictions. If you need a referral or a therapist, an inpatient, outpatient clinic, a program, a yeshiva liaison, whatever it is that you may be struggling with your loved one, please give us a call. We have an anonymous, confidential helpline at 718-758-0400. And we are open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day, not on Shabbat, but we are open every other day of the week for you to be able to call at your convenience. We have been doing this since 1997, and I tell you, we are in our 23rd year, over 109,000 families. So let's try and work more on prevention. Call early. Call when your kids are younger. Don't wait until small problems become big problems if they're not addressed properly. So call early. I'll repeat our number. Jot it down, maybe see yourself, a loved one, a neighbor, or someone you would sit next to in shul. Our number is 718-758-0400. So tonight I have with us a dear colleague, I must say, a dear friend as well, somebody that has been working with Mask for years and has been running a Mask parent support group, and that is Dr. Debbie Ackerman, who is a licensed clinical social worker and has a doctorate in social work, both from Wurzweiler and Yeshiva University. I'd like to welcome, how are you, Dr. Ackerman?
Rechama, thank you. It's always a pleasure to work with you, whether it's on the weekly groups that we do together, which are incredibly powerful, and it's been just an amazing transformative experience, I think, both for those that are attending and for me, and on this show and in any capacity I can work with you. It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
So thank you. I know my staff always say that it's wonderful working with you as well, and they see so many families, the benefits that they are receiving by zooming in to your groups and how they're moving along and getting the healing their families. I mean, I want to talk first about group and the power of group. You know, parents call the helpline and we suggest that they start with the group, you know, not for everybody, but some. And they're always like, oh, but I'm embarrassed because my camera has to be on. Will other people see me? Or when they do try and they do get on, they call me and they say always, I mean, across the board, they always say that their hopelessness was replaced with hope. And their helplessness, now they have new ideas. And parents get coping skills and they get support and develop friendships, and they discover that there are community resources out there. So I want to talk from your angle. You know, we're on the receiving end of the Nachas report from our angle, but I want to hear from you so that listeners out there that are interested in possibly having the courage to pick up the phone to Mass, to sign on to a Zoom group because we're in COVID, they're not in person now.
Right.
I want to hear from you as the doctor, the facilitator of the group. What have you been experiencing, please?
Right. So, and that's really a great question. The power of group is very well known in the therapeutic world. And the truth is that many times the most powerful therapies occur in a group setting. For example, and this is a licensing question on the social work exam, if somebody does have an addiction and you can only do one thing with them, you have kind of one choice, the number one modality of treatment is 12-step group, which is free and peer-supported and really helps move people along their journey into recovery. The group that I am really honored and privileged to run at Mass, many, many issues that people deal with when it comes to mental health, when it comes to their children, people are drowning in shame and stigma. They really feel that they could handle the problem better if they have support. But they are in a place where they are completely alone. And there's one theory on loneliness that says that when you're trying to act one way, but really other things are going on, when you really can't be truthful with what's going on in your life, you develop this incredible sense of loneliness. The parents that we work with are so lonely in their struggle. They want to have families that look good. They want to have children that are giving them nachas. They want everything to be excelled, everything to be beautiful, everything to be perfect. And they're dealing and grappling with major mental health and addiction issues. And when you don't do that with the support, it is an overwhelming loneliness that can really not give somebody the energy to have hope to move forward. Coming together once a week, hearing other parents, seeing how wonderful they are, seeing the love they have for their children, seeing their devotion, it lifts not only the person up themselves, but the entire group together has this experience.
You know, it's interesting because when parents call, my staff always says, it's so nice when they call after they've attended 3-4 groups to say thank you, actually, and they hear the tone of voice. They're actually sleeping better. They're smiling. They have part of their life back. So the camaraderie is also something. It does take a village to raise a child. And like you said, a sense of belonging, a sense of community is so important. They do share war stories sometimes on the groups, often. But yet they all also, we share humor.
Right.
So many, you know, I want to talk about that as well, the hope and the humor that is shared.
Absolutely. I was hoping that you were going to say it. When you're able to come together in a group, when you're able to literally get there and laugh with each other, have a light moment of brevity, that is one of the biggest signs that we know that there is going to be recovery. Because humor indicates future. Humor indicates light. It indicates some energy coming back into a very dismal place. And it's extremely important, no matter what issue a family is dealing with, on a individual child level, a marriage issue, a many child level, whatever the issue is, there has to be an arm of future orientation. We can go back into the past and figure out what happened and how that relates. We deal with the present and the issues that parents are dealing with at the moment and how we can help alleviate pain and put in concrete services and plans and goals to help the families. But there has to be a future arm. And one of the biggest marks of recovery that we know is when people are able to start laughing. Even in the most desperate of situations, it's a release of the energy that we feel and in a positive way. And I have seen the group move week after week after week from real despondency, from women and men, parents, mothers, fathers who sit in the corner. You know, we tell them to put their lights on and their cameras on so they can literally be seen, but they're silent. They are so in pain. They're just literally in too much pain to talk. Now they're coming out, they talk, they laugh. They have made friends on this group. They share a bond. They're no longer so ashamed. they can hold their head up high and really reward themselves and their families for the work and the energy that they're doing. This group must continue. It is literally saving lives, but there is nothing to talk about. It's pikuach nefesh at the highest degree.
All the groups, whatever groups mask.
100%.
Yeah, they benefit tremendously, parents, from different times, different groups. And some people go on, you know, more than one group a week.
Which is fantastic. It really serves the community in so many ways. I know that there are other groups that are equally as powerful and as transformative, and it is an unbelievable service to our community.
Right, and I'd like to thank publicly Dr. Tricia Tia, who's been running groups for almost as long as I'm running Mass. You know, she was one of the first, I would say she, Mass is 23 years old. February, we're going to be starting our 24th year.
Well,
I would say she's doing it at least 16 years minimum, Dr. Tricia Tia. So publicly, a special Yash Koach to her. Dr. Twersky is doing his group from the day before Mass even began, so that's 23 years. Yash Koach to him. And Shara Kahan for years and years. And, you know, we've had other groups, and because of COVID, we don't have those groups now. So, but listen, you can come on by Zoom. There's nothing easier than being home. We have some people that Zoom from their closets, their cars, from their bedrooms.
Right.
We just ask that everyone's in a chair sitting up. But even last night's group, we were discussing the different places. And interesting how one parent actually shared that her relationship got even closer with her husband because they would go into the closet and be on one headset every week or two groups a week, and they really reignited their marriage that way, being in groups.
That's right.
It's wonderful.
Right.
So let's go back to the shame and the guilt and resentment. So groups really help one realize that you're not alone. It takes the pressure off of only you and your child, and so many families, Dr. Ackerman, that do come on and hear other families' struggles. They realize, hey, wait, maybe mine isn't as bad as the next guy's. So, and they end up helping the next family. So there are all kinds of families on, from the worst war stories to prevention, and they all are equal on the group and learn what works for their family. So let's talk about how you leave, you know, how do you take what works for you and leave the rest?
So I really had a thought that just came to my mind, and I'm going to share it with you. Our religion is very smart. The Torah is the best psychology book I've ever read and really understands the human mind better than any volume of anything I've ever read. And it always occurs to me that the Torah and our halacha understands that at our times of greatest joy and greatest sorrow, we need to be surrounded by people, right? A bride and groom get married. They have a week of Sheva Brachas where they're surrounded by people, their community, their family, people to support them. And then, God forbid, somebody passes, there's another week where people come and they support you and listen to you and have you talk. And that really is where this group comes in. We need to be with people. When a child goes and doesn't do what we wanted them to do, there is an intense mourning that happens. There really is. It's the death of a dream. We all want our children to follow in our ways, to do what we do. It's part of our Masorah. It's part of what we teach everybody. And then when we have a child that, or children that don't, we are in deep mourning. We really are. And it just kind of occurred to me that this weekly group really patterns after our tradition of surrounding that person who is grieving. This family is in grief. And we support each other in that grief so that we can then look to the dawn of a new day. Really much like the process for anything that has a mourning period. We have to mourn it, we have to process it, and then we have to look forward to the to the new normal. It's the new normal. And this is what this group is able to do, that we are all there to share tips, wisdom, what works, what doesn't work. I've seen people come forward with incredibly courageous stories, stories of how they felt that maybe their parenting didn't go right, stories of what they maybe could have done right. Hashkafa, how can we weave our beautiful hashkafa into this and into helping children? And much like, really much like going to a house of Shiva, we infuse that person with our support and our hope. And I kind of thought that that was a nice comparison.
Right. So I do want to say that the groups are, our groups are facilitated by professionals, but we do pre-screen. That means we make sure that those people that belong in, you know, one group may not belong in another group. So I just want to put that out there. And we also have a maximum to each group. So, you know, the size can vary. So let's go back to the hope. You know, in the group, we gather helpful information. Parents want resources. They call the helpline and they go, oh, my child, my spouse, my loved one, you know, what do I do? My niece, my nephew. We don't speak third party. So if you're right. calling about a niece or a nephew, we say, please have the parent call. Mask is mothers and fathers, whether you're right. divorced or whatever the situation is, it's mothers and fathers aligned saving their own kid, not a neighbor, not a relative. Right. We need right. the parent to be in the group. Now, offers is self-confidence, strategies, resources, and you may have some people that have been to group for many years that are really coming on just to give back. And you know, Dr. Ackerman, in last night's group, actually, it was amazing to watch one parent who's going through a very difficult time with their own children, two of their kids, and how she was able to give chizuk to and make the newer parent understand what she went through earlier on years ago to help save them from going down that long, you know, difficult yes. journey to help them. It was amazing, and that's the power of group.
Of the group.
You get tangible ways on how to change, and also it brings, like, you learn patience and appreciation of the present with the rest of your family. Don't only focus on the family member that is
right.
struggling. You got to remember your marriage, the other children that are getting affected and have hope for the future. So let's talk about the hope part.
That is systemic. I want to kind of say that I think that the tangible tips are really good, and the case management is amazing. And let me take 2 or 3 or 5 seconds to talk about the incredible work, Rahama, that you do, funding and really supporting this endeavor for 23 years, the staff, the people who facilitate the groups, the outreach, the unbelievable amounts of resources that you have for people. And so I really do want to say and urge everybody to continue. Please continue to support MASC. It's really a marvelous organization that is so helpful to so many thousands and thousands and thousands of our children. I can't say enough.
Thank you. I want to just say thank you. But remember, this is not me alone. It doesn't go in my pocket. It's an organization. We have 501c3 not-for-profit. And we have a staff. I want to thank my staff. I want to thank Celine and Helen and Muriel and Michael and everyone, all the volunteers. I'd like to thank them publicly. It's the end of the English calendar year. Please right. go on, make a donation in their honor. They're always there to answer your phone calls. Please, www.massparents.org. Please go on, make a donation. It could be a small donation or a large donation. Do it in honor of someone, in memory of someone. Do it in right. foot of someone. Do it in honor of Dr. Ackerman and Dr. Swirsky and Dr. Tricia Tia and Sarah Kahan and all those facilitators of groups that help your families. So listeners, please help save a life. Please Amen. Go online and make a donation. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to also just kind of reiterate, because I think this is the most powerful point, that aside from the unbelievable tips and resources that we get, it's the lessening of the stigma and the shame. It's really literally allowing people to hold their head up. And I think that's the most powerful thing. I want to mention that my dissertation work talked about addiction in the Orthodox Jewish community. And we know from empirical research that Orthodox Jews, especially when it comes to addiction, do not get treatment up to 2 years later than their non-Jewish counterparts. And that is simply because of the stigma and shame that surrounds it. And stigma takes on many forces. It can be a community stigma. It can be a family stigma. It can be a business stigma. And then there's stigma that's associated because you're associated with a person that has a problem. So even if there's nothing quite wrong with you, quote unquote, but if it's your son or your daughter, you yourself are going to feel stigmatized because of how the community or other people who don't have the education or the information can treat you. And that is what this group does. Small concentric circles at a time, we are reaching out to individuals and to families to educate them on what's happening, to reduce, to take away the stigma, to understand that these children aren't bad and they're not evil. They're not well. They're not well. And we have a collective and an individual responsibility to our efforts and to the efforts of MASC and the most wonderful organization to help these children, to help them heal.
So let's go to the group now and speak about the 12 steps and how that connects with your particular group, please, how we integrate that.
So 12 step, which the original self-help group, right, started in 1935 by Bill and Bob, anybody who's ever been to a meeting, is, again, a peer-supported, peer-facilitated group. By two alcoholics that are really at their wits' end and didn't know what to do and thought they were both going to die of alcoholism. And they decided to start this group based on their experience, strength, and hope. And when you go through the 12 steps, the first three or four steps have to do with acceptance. And so we help parents understand that you have to have acceptance, radical acceptance, right? That comes from DBT skill. You have to accept what's going on with your child. There are steps, the 12 steps are primarily built on several philosophies. One is acceptance, the other one is gratitude, another very Jewish and Torah concept, and then service and humility. So we accept what Hashem has given us. We have been chosen for this path. We are grateful. We are grateful for every single thing we have, everything that that child, anything that our children that we can have with them, we are grateful. We have humility because we understand that it's all up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we are doing service. Together we are going to do service and service to each other and help serve the community truly by being an example of embracing and of loving and of being kind. And so we do incorporate those themes into our groups on a weekly basis. If someone is struggling, we go back to acceptance. If someone is angry, we try to go to humility and acceptance. All of these themes get interwoven in marriage, in the child rearing, in helping the children progress, and in helping the family heal.
Can you just, I know we're running out of time,
are
but
we?
I think it's important, yeah, believe it or not, if time flies, when we do the radio show, we're just getting into it, but can you just explain to the listeners about how one, I know it was a topic yesterday, this week in the group, about loving the child and trusting the child or not trusting the child.
Yeah.
Can we do that, please?
Yeah, I'm really happy that you brought that up because we had parents, a couple of parents brought up things about children who said they're going out and they weren't going where they were going to go when the child lied. And then children said they were going to do something else and they didn't. And then the child lied. So first we went to acceptance. We accept that part of the pathology that our children are presenting with will include lying. And that we work on that. We work on that piece of acceptance. We then brought up a very powerful topic of the difference between loving someone and trusting them. And we can love people with all of our heart and soul. We love them. We love them emotionally. We care about them. We feel a connection to them. This can go for a marriage or for parenting. We want to do things for them. We have a connection. We are connected in a way that maybe we can explain and maybe we cannot. To trust somebody is a very different thing. Relationships are built and based on trust. And trust can get shattered. It's wonderful when love and trust go together. I think we called it in group the ultimate of the Hallmark ideal. It's a wonderful thing when we can love somebody and trust them at the same time. But we can also have relationships, and we go back to acceptance, where our trust is no longer there, and we are going to try to make a commitment to rebuild it, but we still have love. And we can have anger at that time, and that is okay. We have love, we have trust that has been shattered, and then we have a lot of feelings that we sort out around those two topics. So for parents whose children are lying to them, the message that we gave is, yes, we love those children. And we say it to them in those words, we love you. Do we trust you? No, we do not. And therefore, you cannot take the car out tomorrow night because you went across state lines and came home at 4 o'clock and my car was banged up. Or no, you may not have a credit card because I don't trust what you're going to do with it. The fact that I'm having this conversation with you shows you how much I love you. I love you. But I still have to act in a responsible way to keep you safe, to keep me safe, and for us to take the time to heal and rebuild the trust that is now lacking. And it was a really marvelous discussion.
Absolutely. And groups in general, every week. Amazing. Is just amazing.
I look forward to this group every single week. It is transformative for me. It is just an unbelievable experience to watch the parents and see the movement. It's like a symphony, how it just comes together, you know, kind of from everybody tuning their instruments to literally coming together as a cohesive group and working through the myriad of things that they want. It's really incredible.
Thank you. Well, we're running out of time. I want to say thank you to you and all the therapists that run group again. Please go online, make a donation, help us continue this important work. Go on to massparents.org. We need your help. We need to continue these groups, and we pay the therapist and my staff, so please help us out. Again, I'd like to just wish everybody a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos. Tonight's radio show is in memory of Simcha Shmuel Ben Moshe. And always remember, hang in, hold on, and now virtually hug tight.
Thanks. Love it. Thank you,
Rahama.
It is always
night.
An honor. I'm very grateful. Thank
Thanks.
You kindly. Good
Thanks.
Job, everybody.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good
Be well. Bye-bye.
If you or a loved one has undergone cancer treatment and is now in remission, what comes next? Dr. Raphael Kelman, internist and holistic functional doctor and best-selling author, has put his decades of experience with post-chemo and radiation patients into a clinical program that reduces the aches, pains, fatigue, and all too common chemo brain, the debilitating effects of chemo and radiation. This unique program uses diet, supplements, natural compounds, detoxification, and microbiome therapies. Call the Kelman Wellness Center at 833-MD-HELP-ME for more information about how Dr. Kelman can help you feel your best. That's 833-MD-HELP-ME. Learn more about the Kelman Wellness Center at kelmancenter.com. That phone number again, 833-MD-HELP-ME. That's 833-MD-HELP-ME.
Attention, New Yorkers. Keep your friends safe when you're out. Wear a face covering, whether it's two of you or a group of you. Whether you're going out or getting together, keep a safe distance. Stay 6 feet apart. Keep doing your part to keep your friends and family safe. Wear your face covering, keep your distance, and get tested regularly. For more information, visit nyc.gov/health/coronavirus.
Thanks for listening.